Well, let me add my welcome to Brendan. So great to have you with us. My name is James. I'm one of the ministers here at Earlwood. And we're going to start today with a question. What if Easter Sunday never happened? What if after all the horrific events of Good Friday, Jesus stayed cold and lifeless in that tomb? What difference would it make for us going through a deadly pandemic if Jesus never rose again? Well, friends, it would make all the difference in the world. You see, if Easter Sunday never happened, then humanity would have no future. No certainty, no hope. Last Sunday night, millions tuned in to hear the Queen address the nation for a special broadcast for only the fifth time in her reign. It almost broke the internet with how people responded to it. And what did she speak about? She spoke about hope. Now, this is how she finished. We should take comfort that whilst we still have much more to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our family again. We will meet again. Friends, what if she's wrong? What if better days don't return? What if we get infected and can't see our friends again? What if members of our family die? What if death was the end and there was no afterlife? Well, if COVID-19 has taught us anything, it's that we do not know what this life will bring, let alone what will happen in the next. You see, if Easter Sunday never happened, then there can be no hope of an afterlife. Dead people stay dead, and this life is all we have to look forward to. But if he did rise, then we can dare to hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. You see, the resurrection makes all the difference in the world because it gives us hope. And hope gives us direction and meaning. It's a match in a dark tunnel, a moment of light, just enough to reveal the path ahead and ultimately the way out. And friends, more than anything else, hope is what we need right now. So if you want to find this life-changing hope, then you've come to the right place. Today we're going to be opening up the Bible and looking at its account of that Sunday morning. We will start with why we need hope so badly. And I've called this the need for hope. Next, we'll look at who we put our hope in. And I've called this the object of our hope. And finally, we'll see what difference this makes to our lives. And I've called this the pattern of hope. Why don't we pray to our God as we open his word? And Lord God, thank you for your word, that it shows us a way forward, a way filled with hope. And change us by your word today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with the need for hope. And we need hope for two simple reasons. It gives us direction and it gives us meaning. Let me explain. Why are so many people feeling hopeless in the midst of COVID-19? It's because almost overnight we've lost all of our direction. If we still have a job, it feels like it's a bit pointless, kind of treading water until it all passes. And the things we used to do also involved human interaction, which is almost impossible right now. That's what gave us meaning and purpose. You see, friends, we need hope because it gives us that direction and it gives us that meaning. To prove this, let us look at a lesson from history. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist and a Holocaust survivor, and he shared about the biggest killer in the concentration camps. And between Christmas 1944 and New Year's 1945, the camp experienced a death rate beyond all previous experience, not due to a Nazi crackdown, nor a food shortage or the worsening of conditions, but because the majority of prisoners had lived in the naive assumption, the naive hope, that they would be home by Christmas. And when that hope was dashed, the prisoners found no reason to continue holding on, nothing to look forward to. And so ultimately, they died of hopelessness. Now, often when we speak of hope, it's a fickle thing. I hope I win the lottery. I hope I ace the test. I really hope they find a vaccine one day. It's feeble. It's faint. It's wishful. And this is because the strength of our hope is directly related to the object of our hope. Let me say that again. The strength of our hope is directly related to the object of our hope. The stronger the object, the stronger our hope. When the Bible speaks of hope, it's sure and certain, not fickle. It's like an anchor securing a ship in a storm. The reason for this is that God, he is the object of our hope. And if our hope is in him, then it's no longer dependent on any prevailing circumstance. This allows a Christian to have hope even in a pandemic. So, where can we get hope like this? That brings us to our second point today, the object of our hope. It's very simple. If you want hope like this, sure and certain, then you must believe in God and put your trust in him. And at the heart of that belief is the historical claim of the resurrection, that Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday. You see, if this event is true, then God's promises, they're trustworthy. They can be sure and certain because he is a strong object of hope. But if it didn't happen, then we're just all wasting our time here. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was a very skeptical man. Before his conversion, he was so skeptical of the disciples and their claims that he hunted them down town to town to kill them. And that all changed for him on the road to Damascus. When he met the very man he was so certain was dead. Years later, he wrote to the church in Corinth, who also had some resurrection skeptics. In 1 Corinthians 15, he gives them three reasons why he is convinced it happened and three devastating consequences if it didn't. Let's run through them quickly together. Three reasons. Well, the first reason why Paul is convinced it happened is because multiple witnesses saw it. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 to 6. The resurrected Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw Jesus in the flesh. And remember, this is written within 20 years of this event happening, meaning that most of these witnesses were still alive. People could go and ask them, hey, did you see Jesus? His second reason. Paul himself is an eyewitness. Look with me in verse 8. Last of all, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. Paul is not just giving them hearsay. It's not Chinese whispers. He's claiming to be an eyewitness of the very events he's talking about. He has seen the resurrected Jesus. The third reason why he's convinced it's true is that it completely changed him. See, remember, this man went from a skeptic to a believer willing to die for his testimony. That's the difference the resurrection made to Paul. It gave his life direction and meaning. It filled him with hope in that life and the life to come. And remember, there was nothing for him to gain out of this other than a gruesome death, and yet he would rather die than to deny it happened. Well, let's look at three devastating consequences if Jesus stayed dead. Well, firstly, there is no salvation. If Jesus remained dead, then all of his claims on Good Friday would be proved false. There would be no forgiveness of sins, no salvation, nothing but condemnation on Judgment Day. As we read in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. It's devastating. And the second consequence, death is the end. You see, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then no one will. You see, if not even God in the flesh is powerful enough to defeat death, then what chance do you and I have? This means that death is the end, and we will never see our loved ones again. Verse 18, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Third devastating consequence, there is no hope. And this is the one we're most interested in today. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then there is nothing sure and certain about our hope, both in this life and the next. As Paul so strongly says in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are to be most pitied. Friends, it all hangs on the resurrection. If it happened, then God, the object of our hope, he can be trusted, and our hope in him can be sure and certain. All right, well, let's just assume it did happen. Let's workshop. What difference would this make for our lives? Well, this is our third point, the pattern of hope. Now, I want you to imagine two people with me. They're both trapped in a concentration camp, both undergoing the same inescapable nightmare. They're hungry, they're exhausted, they're putrid. But one of them has been given the date and time of his release, and the other one has been given nothing. What difference would that make to their lives, knowing what the future holds for them? Well, friends, Christians, the Christians are those who have been given a sure and certain hope of the future. We're convinced that Jesus rose again in the past and that he lives and reigns with the Lord forever now. Now, this stems not just from the overwhelming historical evidence or logical assertions. We claim as Christians to have a living, breathing relationship with this God, even now. We worship him. We pray to him. We sing his praises. We put our hope in him. So what difference does this make to have a hope for a Christian living through a crisis? Well, it changes us in three different ways. Firstly, it takes away the sting of death. You see, death is life's greatest fear. And as Christians, we're never promised to be kept from death. Now, Christians have already died in COVID-19, and sadly, many more will die still. But the sting of death is gone fast. Therefore, we do not need to fear it. So what's the sting? Well, look with me in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Friends, on Good Friday, Jesus took all of our sin upon himself. He died the death we should have died as a consequence for our sin. It's like he wrote a check with his life. And at the resurrection, we all cheered because it meant that check cleared. Jesus' promises have been shown to be true. The sting of death is gone. The worst death can do for a Christian is just bring us closer to God. Well, that's the second difference that the hope of the resurrection makes for our lives. Well, it swallows up our suffering. Now, notice Paul here doesn't say that all suffering is removed from the death of Jesus on the cross. No, he says in verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Now, I want you to imagine something with me. Okay, right there in front of your table, there's a steaming hot, freshly cooked chocolate hot cross bun. Now, there's two ways it could be removed from your table. It could be taken away by someone, or it could be swallowed up by you. It could be consumed by you. Now, if someone just takes it away, it's pretty inconsequential. It's gone. It's devastating. But if it's swallowed up, it becomes part of you. It fills you up. It gives you energy to live your life. Well, friends, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't remove suffering from us. Until his return, we will still suffer. There'll still be heartache and sorrow, which is probably going to get worse in the months to come. But what Jesus has done, he has swallowed up suffering. He has consumed it. It has become part of him. In a sense, he performed the greatest judo move imaginable. He used the power and strength of sin and death against itself, achieving an impossible victory. Have you ever noticed that Jesus' resurrected body still bears the scars of his crucifixion? Why do you think that is? Well, I think it shows us that Jesus knows what real suffering is like. In fact, he's proud of that. He was one of us. He knew what it was like to go through heartbreak and sorrow and pain and torment. But it also shows us that one day suffering will come to an end. His scars show us that there's a resurrected body to come, which will no longer suffer the pains that we have in this life. There is a sure and certain future that won't deny our suffering, but is made available to us through his suffering. Well, here's the third difference that the hope of the resurrection makes to the Christian. It gives us undashable hope. It seems that just overnight, all the sources of our hope have been taken away from us. And just think about where you have placed your hope. I'll be okay in COVID-19 because I have a secure job. I'll be okay because I've got access to good hospitals. I've invested in a diverse portfolio. I'm still young. Well, the government will bail me out, or, oh, they're going to soon find a vaccine. We'll be okay. Friends, each one of these hopes can be dashed. Just look at the headlines of the last few weeks. Jobs are disappearing. Hospitals are near capacity. The market is in freefall. The government is stretched. The young are dying. And we could be years away from a vaccine. Remember, the strength of our hope is directly related to the object of our hope. And those objects, they're not that strong. Elsewhere, Paul speaks about the undashable hope of the Christian. He says in Romans 5, rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I love this. And hope will not disappoint. A hope that does not disappoint, friends, is a hope that is dependent on God's strength and not in ours. So as we finish up, we all need hope. We all need hope because it provides us with direction and meaning. And we've seen that with the resurrection, we can hope in a God who has defeated even death. That the resurrection makes all the difference in the world because it gives us that hope. And more than anything else, hope is what we need right now.